The importance of preparation and planning your Seder lesson. Dear parents, many years ago when I was teaching in a synagogue Cheder one midweek afternoon, I got onto the subject of preparing for Shabbos. I was explaining to the children that the quality of their Shabbos will very much depend on the quality of their preparations leading up to it. During my exchanges with the children, it occurred to me that a useful metaphor was in order, so I began to build a comparison with the endeavor of baking a cake and the necessary preparations for that, without which the fine baked product would certainly fail. I began by pointing out the need to have that favorite recipe on hand, and then to ensure that all the ingredients were available and in their correct quantities. Weighing scales were likely to be an important accessory, as well as the right bowls, the right size bowls, the food processor, and that indispensable spatula for obeying the instruction to fold the ingredients together in the bowl rather than stirring them. Too much margarine or too little sugar would lead to a veritable culinary disaster, and if the recipe requires for the oven to be preheated, then that's what needs to be done, and at the correct temperature for the right length of time. A teaspoon of this, a tablespoon of that, and a pinch of the other. And if all these vital ingredients and processes are followed precisely and lovingly, then the cake will be a winner, beautifully baked and delicious. Now, as I had been speaking, I had noticed a little girl looking a bit dreamy. I was sure she had been completely switched off during my inspirational monologue about the cake and preparing the cake and so on. In fact, her head had been down for a good few minutes, her face in her arms, and her mind probably in some distant location, perhaps her next holiday with her family. That is, if she hadn't simply dropped off altogether, which, from her position, seemed quite likely. There's no way she has a clue what I've been saying, I thought to myself. So I decided to wake Goldie up and bring her back into the lesson by seeing if she could make the link between my metaphor and the point I was trying to make about Shabbos. And so I continued, if we also put that much careful preparation into Shabbos, then Shabbos will end up being, Goldie? To my surprise, but also to my delight, the little head of wavy brown hair arose from its apparent slumber, and with a knowing, broad smile, Goldie said, "A piece of cake?" It was at that moment, I think, that I learnt you can never underestimate how much a child may be absorbing, even when, to all appearances, the lights are off and no one's at home. But what is true regarding Shabbos is certainly true in respect of Pesach too. Yes, of course, good preparation is vital for the other Chagim as well, but our focus here is Pesach, and not only because it's fast approaching, but also because I think there's a certain aspect to Pesach which makes appropriate and timely preparation all the more essential. For sure, in many ways, Pesach probably outstrips other Yomim Tovim in terms of the preparation that's critical to the demands of the Chag. Most of all, the hard work that goes into clearing the house of Chometz, all the tidying, clearing, cleaning, scrubbing, kashering, and so on, covering or kashering kitchen surfaces, kashering ovens, switching your pots and your pans and crockery, cutlery to the Pesach equivalents, and putting all the year round utensils away, and then ensuring any remaining chometz is sold, and then of course the bedikas chometz, the search for chometz, the formal search for chometz on the night of Erev Pesach, followed in the morning by the biur chometz, the burning of the last of our chometz. And don't forget to say Kol Chamira after the search and following the burning in the morning to nullify any chometz that may still be left. And that's not yet saying anything about all that needs to be done to prepare for the Seder nights, or one Seder in Eretz Yisrael, for example, having all the symbolic foods ready for the Ka'ara, the Seder plate, and so on and on and on. But there's a very unique and important aspect of Pesach, which singles it out from the other special moments in the Jewish year. All the Moedim, all the festivals, have their particular mitzvos and ceremonies, but the Seder night is an extraordinary, shared, immersive learning experience, often several generations participating, which is an annual intake of sparkling oxygen for the national Jewish heart. But there's the point. The Seder is an interactive learning experience. And as is true for any learning experience, its success very much depends on the thought and preparation that precedes it. Although we have a text and structure in place, of course, in the form of the Haggadah, of which there are hundreds of versions, hundreds of editions as well, every family's Seder will have its own style, its own minhagim, its traditions, and its own unique character. But in addition to all that, indeed underpinning all that, is the fact that the Seder needs to be led, be it by the father, the grandfather, perhaps a son, or the rabbi at a communal Seder, perhaps. Now, leading a Seder is akin to teaching a lesson or delivering a shiur. Yet, a Seder takes place on many more dimensions than either the best lesson or most inspirational shiur. We can't possibly expand on the nature of those different dimensions here and now, but what that means is that the person leading the Seder needs to have thought very carefully about how the evening is going to proceed, taking many things into account and really paying attention to detail. Let's just mention four aspects of the Seder. Four, of course, is a theme at the Seder. Four questions, four cups, four sons. But let's mention four aspects of the Seder that the person who's going to lead it would do well to think about and plan in advance. So, first of all, number one, the introduction, or an introduction. Once everyone is finally situated around the table after all that hard work and preparation before Pesach, once everyone's around the table and we're all ready to begin the Seder, we're all ready to get going, what are you going to do? You're the leader of the Seder. What are you going to do? Are you just going to make Kiddush and get the ball rolling? That would really be a missed opportunity. No, of course, obviously, this isn't the time for long speeches, but perhaps a short one at least. It might be an enhanced form of welcome everyone to our home and to our Seder with a thought or two about how you would like things to run. During the evening, you might wish to say a solemn word about those who are missed and are no longer present, and then follow that up with a more upbeat hint to some of the fun things you've planned for the evening. Or you might decide to very briefly clarify the key halachic aspects of the Seder and then give it some context with a very short few words about what we're all doing here, sitting around the table, what's about to happen. Emphasizing, of course, the importance of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Exodus from Egypt, which occurs as a really important theme all the way through Judaism, all the way through the Torah. Now, we're in a few minutes, we're going to discuss the importance of planning how the theme of the evening, Yetzias Mitzrayim, of course, will be maintained during Shulchan Orech, the meal. And this would be a great time, in the introduction, to flag it up, to flag up how you intend that to work, how you intend it to happen, that you're going to maintain that focus on the theme of the evening even during the meal. Okay, so that's the introduction, or the idea of perhaps having an introduction to your Seder. The second idea that you might think about is participation. All right, so let's think about participation. Are you going to, for example, read the whole Haggadah by yourself in Hebrew? Are you going to read some in translation? Are you going to get others involved in reading part of the Haggadah? Are you going to check in advance of the Seder whether participants who are going to be there will be happy to be asked to read in order to avoid any possible, you know, any possible potential embarrassment when the time comes? How are you going to involve the children? Which child or children will be singing Manishtana? What other fun things are you going to do to add spice to the evening for the children and the adults alike? Do you plan to have, for example, toy animals and other props available for some fun when recounting the 10 plagues, the Esamakos? And have you bought these yet? What balance are you going to aim for? What balance are you going to aim for between contributions from the children, from what they have learnt at school, and from the adults? Remember that one of the most important mitzvahs of the Seder is for the adults to teach the children that way round. So this is a very important consideration. It can be difficult actually to achieve this, especially when, Baruch Hashem, the children come home armed and come to the Seder table armed with reams of Divrei Torah. But the balance should be in favor of the parents teaching the children, and not the other way around. This is the mitzvah of Vehigatz Talavincha, teach your children. Rabbi Shimon Schwab says the mitzvah is not Vehigatz Talavicha, that the children should teach their father, but it's the Vehigatz Talavincha, it's teaching your children. So that's really important to think about. So there's participation. So we've talked about possibly having an introduction at the beginning of your Seder, and then we've mentioned participation. How are you going to plan for participation to happen? And the third thing is the mitzvos, the actual mitzvos and their shiurim, the sizes and measures of the mitzvah items. This is in many respects the most important part of the Seder leader's role. In order to fulfill the mitzvahs of the Seder correctly, it's important to be aware of the technical requirements demanded by the halacha. For example, how much wine do we need to drink for the four cups? May we use grape juice instead of, or together with wine? How much matzah do I need to eat for motzi matzah? For korech, that's eating the matzah and the maror together, which we also know as sometimes the hillel sandwich. And also tzofen, when we have the afikoman. Which vegetable is best to use for maror, and how much should be eaten at maror and at korech? The person leading the Seder needs to think about these questions well in advance in order to ensure, firstly, that the right items will be available at the Seder and in the right quantities, and then that during the Seder itself, he will be supplying participants with what they need for fulfilling the mitzvahs correctly. The point here is that, in addition to all the things that give a Seder its unique and special feel, the traditional minhagim and family customs, the songs, the toys, the prizes, and so on, maybe some play acting, it is crucially important to remember that there are actual mitzvahs to be done and to be done properly, and only advanced study, and not advanced study necessarily, but advanced, that means in advance, only advanced study and planning will enable the leader of the Seder to lead on these aspects, the halachic aspects as well. And so we come to Shulchan Aruch, which is the meal. And during the meal, it's important not to let the theme of the evening slip away as conversation turns perhaps to current affairs, politics, sport, and perhaps even, chas v'shalom, gossip. Moreover, since Hallel begins before the meal and then continues afterwards with the meal in the middle, right? The meal in the middle, situated between the beginning of Hallel and the next part of Hallel, it's correct to try to ensure that the praises of Hashem for his miracles and his wonders, for the events of Yetzias Mitzrayim and all that happened at that time, continue through the meal, Shulchan Aruch, in order that the meal forms a bridge in Hallel rather than a break in it. And this certainly won't happen. That is having continued conversation about the events at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, events at the time and Hashem's wonders and miracles when he brought us out from Egypt. Discussion about all of that won't necessarily happen during the meal without specifically planning for it. In fact, it might be worth outlining this aspect of your Seder in the introduction that you're going to give at the beginning, which is why we included it earlier when we discussed the introduction itself. And so we see that while every Seder in the world follows the same, yes, Seder order, as found in the Haggadah, nevertheless, every Seder is different, unique, special, but it's the careful planning and attention to detail that will really make the Seder the most powerful, memorable experience for everyone present. So thank you, and Behatzlocha, and have a wonderful Seder, and a Pesach Kasher V'Sameach.